Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth, with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And you're listening to the Living by Design show, and we welcome everyone this evening. We welcome everyone that will be coming into the chat room and everyone dialed in and everyone that will be listening to the archive downloads. We have a fabulous show on tap for you this evening. Oh, my goodness. We have two excellent panel experts on the topic of women's sexuality and body image and all the wonderful thoughts that we have about our bodies, Dr. Leah Schwartz and Ms. Jackie Fine. And I'm going to get to those two wonderful young ladies in just a second here. I have several announcements that I'd like to make, and I'm going to just start rolling right into that, Tony, if you don't mind, unless you have something you want to say first.
No, that's fine.
Is that good?
Absolutely.
All right, great. All right, just a few announcements, and then we'll get rolling into the show. I want you to make a note that the Living by Design show will air next Wednesday, the 29th, at 7 o'clock p.m. instead of 6 p.m. That's 7 p.m. Eastern time on the 29th instead of 6. So please make a note because we have a great topic lined up for that day. We'll have Ms. Adrienne Berg, who is a recognized speaker on the topic of personal finance in the nation, and she's been a keynote for USA Today, and she's done quite a bit on that topic. So we want to make sure you guys don't miss that show. So please make a note that we will be doing the show at 7 p.m. next week, the 29th. And then I also want you to know that on November the 5th, we will have an open line day for you, our listeners. That's the day after the big election. So we want you to call in and we want you to have an opportunity to call in and talk to Tony and I about your opinions, thoughts, feelings on our newly elected president, okay? So mark that date down because it's your time to be heard, and we want you to say whatever it is that you want to say about your happiness or your disappointment or whatever the case may be. And we have a lot of great show topics coming up in the next few weeks, so please continue to check my radio profile page and my website for dates. And I'll post my website up in the chat room here in a second. And I have a special listener appreciation show coming up. I do that periodically for my loyal listeners because you guys are so wonderful and I just want to try to give back. And I'm going to keep it a surprise for now. I will tell you a little bit, you know, later in the weeks as the weeks go by. But I do have a very, very special guest. It's going to be coming up probably sometime mid to late November, and I think you will be very pleased. No, it's not Howard Hewitt. Howard Hewitt is not coming back, not yet anyway. We may have him come back sometime, but that's not who I'm referring to. So check back because we will be announcing who that special guest will be. And then last but certainly not least on the announcements, please visit my website. Let me just go ahead and put that up in the chat room here because I want to make sure that you guys go to my website and sign up for a free copy of Dr. Leah's book, The 1 Hour Orgasm. I've read the book, listeners, and trust me, you will want a copy of this book. So please do that. I posted my website up in the chat room because I want to make sure you guys have an opportunity to read that fabulous publication. So, Tony Lamont, you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okie doke. Okay, all right. Well, I am going to go ahead and bring our two wonderful ladies, our two expert panelists on the line here. And Jackie and Dr. Leah, are you there?
Yes, hello, Kathy, Tony.
Hi.
This is Jackie, yes.
Hi, Jackie. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having us on.
Oh, I am thrilled to have you on. Is Dr. Lee on? I opened her mic. Maybe she stepped away. Dr. Leah?
Kathy?
Can you hear me, Dr. Leah?
I can hear you, Kathy. Can you hear me?
I most certainly can, my dear.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Tony.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm great. It's so wonderful to be on your uplifting, inspiring, making a difference show. Thank you for including us.
Oh, thank you very much, because this is going to be a fabulous topic this evening. You guys are just experts in your field. I've been reading a lot about the work you've been doing, and Dr. Lee, you know, bless your heart. I know your husband is no longer with us, but I know you guys collaborated, and you came up with some wonderful, wonderful publications, so congratulations on that. And Jackie, I know you've been doing some fabulous work with your workshops, and we're very fortunate to have you guys, so welcome.
Oh, yeah. And it's also wonderful to be carrying on what Dr. Bob Swartz started. It's really an incredible opportunity, because had it not been for Dr. Bob and Dr. Leah, I wouldn't have the relationship that I have today.
Really?
Yes. I wasn't a candidate for a happily ever after relationship growing up, and so it was just, you know, no accident that they came into my life.
Oh, wow. That's excellent. That's excellent. Because I know, and that's why I wanted to hurry up and get started. I had a few announcements, but I really wanted to move into the topic because we have a lot to cover, and you guys are just, between the two of you, you just have so much knowledge. And the show is about the importance of sexuality and body image.
Yes.
Because, unfortunately, women get so caught up. And I'm saying women, but I know guys also, you know, Tony, chime in whenever you want.
I will.
But I know you will. I know guys also go through it, but for whatever reason, and, you know, you guys are the experts. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Don't you see more women with those issues than guys?
Actually, in some research that they did, they said that 80% of women significantly are dissatisfied with their bodies. Is that not a high number? And how sad is that?
Yeah.
And
you know what's really sad?
It
doesn't matter.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Yeah, it reminds me of an email that was sent out a while back, and it showed a man looking in the mirror and a woman looking in the mirror. And the woman was thin, and when she looked in the mirror, what she saw was a fat woman. And then the man, when he looked in the mirror, he was fat, and what he saw was a muscular built man.
I saw that. He saw a hunk. Yep.
Exactly.
And not only that, but you see guys with pot bellies and that whole thing, and they will have a beautiful, gorgeous woman on their arm. Women don't judge men's appearance as much as men judge women's appearance.
And it's also society. You know, I mean, if you look at how society is set up, you know, women are supposed to, you know, look better. And, I mean, the cosmetic industry is a multi-billion-dollar industry. And, you know, we bought into that belief.
And we are so much more than that. Of course, what's true is that that's one way that we judge ourselves, is by the way our bodies look. However, if you really think about it and expand on it, and I know many of us think it's, you know, easier said than done. However, the truth be told, think about your body in a whole. I mean, think about those arms that are used for hugging, those hands that are used for touching. When you think about the blessings and this incredible body that God has given us, the ability to be able to hear, to see, to smell, to touch, it just touches me in so many ways, and I'm just so grateful when I think of my own body. Not to say that there aren't times that I don't feel that too, because being a woman, as Jackie said, we do judge ourselves that way. I can think of a vulnerable time when the other day I was taking a bath, and I know this is a little vulnerable and maybe a little more than maybe what somebody wants to hear, but, you know, sometimes it helps, right, to just share that. But I'm in the bathtub, and I'm looking at myself, and it's like, oh, my goodness, look at that tummy. You know, now I'm 53, and, you know, they say things like, oh, it's all going to go south. And for whatever reason, that moment, I was like, you know what? It has gone south, hasn't it? And I'm having this conversation in my own little head. But at the same time, I stopped myself because I saw what I was doing, because if I kept doing that, I would just keep going down. And what I didn't want to do was go down. I wanted to feel good. So then I started to focus on what I liked about myself. And, of course, when I did that, I looked at those parts of my body that I liked. And, you know, there's those two beautiful things right up there on top. And I think they're absolutely beautiful, if I can say. You know, can we say those words?
Absolutely, yes. Say what you want.
So
and I told my listeners last week, hey, Living by Design is going there next week. We're going to talk about the big S word. So we're going there.
So absolutely, think my breasts are absolutely beautiful. And so, you know,
good
I focused,
you.
And I thank you, Kathy, and I focused on that. And then when I did that, I started to look at my hands, and it was like, my hands are beautiful. I like my hands. I like my feet. And before you know it, when I got done with that bath and I looked in the mirror, I was feeling really good about myself. So one of the concepts that Jackie and I share is we have what we call the 5 A's, and one of them being the 5 A's to having a positive body image. One of them is attention, and it's where you put your attention, because you have two things that are yours. One of them is your attention, right, and where you put that attention. And wherever you put it, whatever you focus on is what you're going to get. It's kind of like a garden. In that garden, you've got weeds and you've got flowers. So if you water the flowers, you're going to get more flowers. If you water the weeds, you're going to get more weeds.
True.
And the second one,
I absolutely agree.
Is acknowledge and approval. It's like most people, when they come to the bedroom, they come to the bedroom with comparing and expectation and doubt, and that can ruin the moment for anyone. What you are is to focus on any good, the slightest bit of good, and just making that better. And we have an acknowledgement exercise that we teach couples, and it's how to get from good to better and better. And you approve on what's already good, and you acknowledge that, and then you do more of that, which is what Dr. Leah was just speaking of.
Well, yeah, and as Jackie is saying, so often the way to get to good is not through bad. You know, it's like you can beat yourself up, and then what you do is you end up beating yourself up even more. So the way to good is through good, not through bad. And there are two exercises that Jackie's going to share with your audience right now that help put you in your body and has you feel good. And so we teach you how to double your pleasure. Kathy, Tony, would you like
Excellent.
To know how to do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's yes.
And these are very simple exercises that you can actually do right now. The first one is called the finger trick. And you actually put both of your fingers, the fingers that you point with, on top of each other. So it almost looks like a hot dog bun. You put that on top. Are you guys doing that?
Now say that again, Jackie. I'm a little backwards over here.
Oh, no worries. You take the fingers that you point with on your right and left hand.
Your index fingers.
Oh, okay, on both hands. Okay, got it.
And you put them on top of each other.
Okay, got it.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then very quickly, you pull them across each other.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that?
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So now do the same thing, but slow it down. Pull them across. Very, very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice how much more you felt the second time as opposed to
the first
time?
Yep.
So okay. That's the type of pleasure.
And what is that called, Jackie?
That's called the finger trick. And what it does is it shows you how much pleasure you can have, the intensity, because most of us only experience about 10% of the amount of pleasure that we're truly capable of having.
What happens?
Well, and don't you think that is related to the mental situation? Because for women, the majority of the pleasure that you can have in a sexual situation, a sexual encounter, is mental.
Oh, yes.
as we have been taught, is that our biggest sex organ is our brain.
Right, right.
Absolutely. However, so often what happens is we spend a lot of time in our heads, right, rather than in our bodies. And when you're in your body, you're going to feel what it is that there is to feel. But lots of times when we're in our head, you know, we're thinking things like, especially when we're talking about intimacy, for some women, some of the thoughts are, am I going to get there? Is it going to happen? Why is it taking so long? And when you're in your head like that, you're not in your body feeling what there is to feel. And that's what Jackie was saying when she was talking about, if what you bring into the bedroom is comparing, doubt, and an expectation, like you're comparing your experience like one other time, maybe when it was really fantastic and it happened the way that you wanted it to happen, but maybe it's not happening that way this time. So you're being in your head instead of being in your body and in the experience right now. Same thing with doubt and same thing with expectation. Does that make sense what we're saying?
It absolutely does. And I want to just, you know, jump in here and make a comment because we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. What can women do, Dr. Lee and Jackie, when they are just totally inundated with, you know, these media pictures of women that are a size zero, and it's just not common? I mean, I think the average size woman in America is a 14 or something like that.
Exactly.
And it's just not natural for a woman to be a size zero. So how can women feel better about not trying to compare themselves or identify themselves with that type of body image? Because that's just not the norm.
Yeah, and that is such a perfect question that you're asking, and that is exactly what so many of us do. And one of the first things is to look at what it is that you say to yourself, right? We're our own worst critic, aren't we?
And where you got the belief about yourself as well.
Yeah, exactly. You want to identify what those negative thoughts are and what those negative conversations are. And if you can, write them down. And then at that point, when you see what they are, and then replace them with realistic, loving, and positive statements. Just like what I was doing when I was taking that bath, I started to focus on what was good and started to say to myself what I loved about myself, not what I didn't like, because every one of us has something that we don't like about ourselves, right?
And so what she was doing was watering the flowers versus watering the weeds.
Right.
And something else that is so important is as we say, you said it, Kathy, in one of your articles that was so wonderful. You said self-love is a condition of awareness, a way of perceiving, an attitude. And I love that when I read that. Mm-hmm. And it so resonated with me. And once again, it's the way we see ourselves. There's a quote that I read that I have up on my wall, and it says, the best corrective vision has a filter of acceptance and love. So think about it this way. When you like someone, you do nice things for them, don't you?
Correct.
But if you don't like someone, do you do nice things for them?
No.
No, not really.
Right.
So it's really about doing nice things for ourselves. And when we do nice things for ourselves, and one of the nicest things we can do for ourselves is to treat our bodies good. Give your body the rest that it needs. Honor your body and listen to it when it's hungry, give it healthy food. So often we put into our bodies what we think is quick and easy rather than what is healthy and good for it.
Right. And I know one of the things that I tell some of the clients that I work with that come to me with the issue of not liking what they see in the mirror is, and you touched on it, Dr. Leah, you were just so right on. When we love ourselves, I mean, it's a daily routine that you must go through. I tell them to come up with affirmations when you first get up in the morning. I mean, I'm thin, and I don't like a lot of things about my body. So when I get up in the morning, I look at myself in the nude. I don't hide myself with clothes.
Exactly.
I'm serious, because if you hide yourself with clothes, then you're not being true to who you are.
Exactly.
And I look at my body in the nude, and you know, the parts that I don't like, I love it, I rub it, I touch it, and I say, you are beautiful. That is beautiful, even though I know that's a part of my body I may not like very well, but I still say it anyway. You're beautiful.
Yeah,
I love that part of you. And, you know, it really works, because after a while, your subconscious starts to believe it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Good for you.
That is so, so true. It's as we say, you know, sometimes when you don't feel good about yourself, you walk around with your head hung low, right? Or
right.
Maybe you're walking in such a way that you can tell that you don't feel good about yourself. And something really simple that people can do is actually stand up and hold your head up high, and even something as simple as that can make you feel better.
Right.
Yeah. I'd like to ask a couple of questions real quick, because I've been enjoying the conversation. One thing I wanted to know, from a male perspective, from the standpoint of being supportive, because I know in my experience, I've met women who have had a low self-image of themselves physically. And so I noticed it, understood it, and tried to be supportive, compliment them, let them know that they're beautiful regardless of what they thought or what anybody else had said about them or to them about them. What can men do to help the process? I mean, I know it's something that a woman has to do for herself, and all a man can do is, you know, be supportive when she gets there. But I know in some cases women will want their man to be supportive regardless of how they feel about themselves.
Oh, Tony, very good question. Very good question. And, you know, what you do, you know, it's almost like that person is your best friend, and they're talking about your best friend. So you don't allow them to do that. You know, when they start having that conversation, you tell them, look, you're talking about a person that I care for and I have respect for, and I don't see you that way, and I don't want to hear you, you know, talking about yourself that way. So you don't allow them, you don't buy into that conversation.
Gotcha.
And the more that you don't buy into it, they won't do it. And you acknowledge them for what you do like about them and what you appreciate about them, and you're focusing on the good once again and not focusing on the bad, watering the flowers and not watering the weeds.
Gotcha. Okay.
Good point.
That helped out a lot.
Very good point. Yeah, because it's just, you know, no matter how beautiful a woman is, it's just something about women that, you know, we do that, and we have to water the flowers. I like that phrase. I really like that. We just really have to do that for ourselves and each other. I try to do that for all my friends, too, because, you know, women have to lift each other up. You know, I tell
exactly.
My friends they're beautiful, and I'm not just saying it just to be, you know, yanking their chain. I really mean it.
And when you say things to your friends, then they know that you mean it, then they start to have confidence in what you're saying, so they trust your opinion.
Right, right.
So that is very valuable when you're doing that.
That is so mm-hmm. profound what you just said, and Jackie and Tony. I know for myself one of the biggest ahas that I had about 25 years ago that has stayed with me ever since was how I would notice what was beautiful and wonderful about my friends. And I would just acknowledge whatever it was, if it was an accomplishment, if it was, you know, them being a great mom, if they had just created this project and did really well with it, if they had, you know, did some volunteer work that they felt good about, if they bought a new dress, whatever it was, I always found a way to find what was beautiful about them, and it didn't matter what size or shape they were. They
mm-hmm.
were beautiful to me. And it was like, huh, I see what's good in the people that I love and in people that I don't even know. And yet it's like, I'm not giving that to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, it was like, oh, I'm not being my own best friend. And you know how good we feel when someone who loves us says those good things to us. It's so
exactly.
wonderful. And it's as all of you have been saying, when you say it to yourself, it is a, as you say it, fantabulous feeling.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know, like you said, the majority of people that really get caught up in the issue are females, but there are occasions when males get caught up in it too. You know, I'm in a relationship with a nice gentleman, but, you know, he sometimes gets kind of caught up in that. And he never likes to take all of his clothes off around me. So would the same thing, you know, apply for a man? I mean, he'll get out of the shower or he'll get out of the bath, and he'll make sure that he is totally clothed before he comes in my presence. So,
yes, that does happen for men, too. And just like us, and the question that Tony asked about being supportive, it's
mm-hmm.
like you just totally support them and say whatever it is that you know that you can say that will make them feel good. Because to have someone do something they don't want to do just has them feel worse. I mean, if he doesn't want to take his shirt off, that's okay.
Oh.
It's like find him right the way he is.
And then when you find him right the way he is, find him even righter than that.
That's right. Exactly. I like that. I like that. Find him even right, yes.
And it's as we say, it's like what there's that saying out there, whatever you resist, persists.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you resist him being the way he is, you're only going to get more of that. So you just really allow someone to be exactly the way they are. And when they really get that you really are accepting them for the way they are, and one of the ways that that happens is when you really accept the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that space. You know when you really are accepting you, and then you can recognize in yourself when you're really accepting someone else exactly the way they are and not the way they're not.
That's true. What do you guys, what are your thoughts about cosmetic surgery? And I'm referring to, like, you know, the, because I talked to Tony about this quite a bit. I just don't understand why people go through that stomach surgery where they tear up their stomachs. I don't even know what it's called, but you know what I'm referring to.
Are you talking about the staple surgery when you're trying to lose weight, or the cosmetic surgery when they're just wanting to remove
the staple surgery.
The staple surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Kathy, what was your question?
What do you feel about it? What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts personally are very different than what my thoughts may be professionally. Professionally, from what is said, if the doctor recommends it and that person, if they feel that that is their only option and they really feel that that's it for them, as long as they've discussed with their medical doctor and they feel that's the best way to go, then you support a person in that decision, because ultimately it's really their decision. Personally,
mm-hmm.
personally, I would not go that way. Now, I'm not a medical doctor.
Right.
And at the same time, I just feel that there's so much you can do on your own naturally, but I understand the suffering that people go through that have a lot of weight to lose and who feel that they've done everything that they can. They feel hopeless and they feel desperate. However,
right.
what
yeah.
I also understand is that they make sure that they are talking to a psychologist and doing it for the right reasons.
And I
ladies,
agree with Dr. Leah, yes.
Oh, okay. I was going to try to go to the phone line here. Make sure this listener is listening. Listener, it looks like you're coming up with a voice over IP or a Skype maybe. It's all zeros. Your mic is open. Do you have a question?
Oh, hello. I'm sorry. I didn't know my mic was open. No, I don't have a question. I'm sneaking at work listening to you.
Okay. I'll close your mic. No problem. I was just checking. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're going to... We have another, one of the reasons why we came up with the five A's is because it was a way to, as we know, A means the best, right? It's like
mm-hmm.
when you're in school and you get an A, you know you got the highest grade. And this is just a way to feel really good about yourself, having an A attitude about yourself. And one of the ones that we came up with that's a lot of fun is it's called ask. And many times what we say is that your ask isn't big enough. And it's
right.
like,
oh, I like that.
You like that? Jackie came up with that one. I should let her do this one.
Yeah, you have to have a big enough ask, you know, and that's inside of the bedroom as well as outside of the bedroom.
And we have 8 magic words for inside the bedroom. Matter of fact, the 1-Hour Orgasm book is based on one of the most extraordinary courses I ever took called Basic Sensuality. And one of the statements that they made is they said that your hands are actually your most effective sensual tool. Now, when they said that to me originally, I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, yes, I know, you know, hands are wonderful, but come on now, the real thing, like Coke, is intercourse. However, I was willing to be very open. I remember listening to you and Tony on one of your shows, and one of the things that Tony said is the importance of being an empty vessel. Is that how you said it, Tony?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
you know, so being open and in hearing what it is that's being said. Now, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to do it, but you could actually just be open. And when they said that, it was like, oh, okay, well, that makes some sense. I'm willing to, you know, experiment with that. And what one of the analogies that they use is they said, just imagine if you were a brain surgeon and your brain surgeon attempting to do brain surgery with his penis. That was the point about how effective your hands are. And so in regards to your hands and the 8 magic words that they gave us, and are you ready for the 8 words?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
This is one of the ways to get information, and it's actually very wonderful. And so one of it's actually, as we say, it's 8 words. And so what you can say to the person that you are doing the Venus butterfly with is you can say to him, honey, would you do that a little harder? Then they do that. Then you can say, would you do it a little softer? And they do that. And then you can say, honey, would you move to the left a little bit? Would you move to the right a little bit? And believe me, my voice would be a whole lot more sensual when I'm with my lover, right?
Of course. We know that.
But on the phone here, I wish I could sound like Marilyn Monroe because she had the best voice, didn't she?
Well, for sex.
Yeah.
She'd have a great sex voice.
Now, actually, you know, in that, I got to see for myself how in that moment it was like, now, wait a minute. I have a great voice, too. But you see how we women can be sometimes. We put ourselves down and think somebody else could be better.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Well, you know, I want to comment, Dr. Leah, before you move on. You talked about the hands and how important they are. I, just from experience, and, you know, the gentleman that I'm seeing, I haven't really been in a lot of relationships, but, and I don't have a lot to compare it with, but I do know that this person's touch is amazing. I mean, it's just like, and I don't know, maybe it's just because of the mental feeling that I have for him, but, I mean, he can just be stroking the back of my hand, and it's just so sensual. No matter where he touches me, he could be rubbing my ankle or rubbing my neck, or it doesn't matter. It's just the way his touch feels. Is that because of the way I feel about him mentally, or does he just, can a touch, one person's touch be better than another? Well, I guess it can.
Yeah.
You know, and he could be using what we call the taking touch.
Yeah.
What's that? Explain that.
And what the taking touch is that the person that is touching you, they're getting more pleasure from touching you than you are from being touched by them. It's like if you are touching silk and you're enjoying it. And that touch can even become addictive, where you just want it and you long for it.
Yeah, I am addicted. I am addicted.
he is feeling you. There's
exactly.
A difference, right? He is not just touching you for himself. He is really feeling you when he's touching you.
Mm-hmm.
And that does feel fantabulous. I love that word, by the way.
I do, too. That's true.
So let me ask this, jump in here again, because I'm just enjoying the conversation. In a sense like that, what Kathy was mentioning, would that individual be considered a because I've heard people talk about guys and women who are more intrigued with pleasing than they are receiving. So they're more givers than they are receivers.
And what's the question, Tony? I'm sorry.
So would that individual be considered that kind of, because it means more to make your partner feel good than it actually does to feel good. So how would that make, what would, you gave him a name, or you gave that person a name. Is that what that person would fall into in that name?
No, you know what it's like, Tony? It's like if you're this great musician, a great jazz musician, you've got the saxophone and you're playing it. You know, it's like when he's playing that saxophone, it's like he feels the notes. It's like the saxophone is like an extension of him. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Go right ahead.
He's wanting to get pleasurable notes from it. And it's like he's playing that saxophone in order to get pleasurable notes. And the more pleasurable the notes are, the more pleasure he's having from playing it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can tell the difference. It's like when we talk about the Venus butterfly, it's actually sex for the soul. You feel the tenderness, the love, the joy, the patience. It's really about feeling. And I've said this, and I say it in another way, it really is about feeling what there is to feel moment to moment. So many times when we're having sex in our society, for many of us, we've gotten into a particular routine where it's about harder, harder, faster, faster, deeper, deeper.
Right.
Versus what Jackie and I teach has to do with pleasure-oriented. Now, I know that may sound like an oxymoron because, of course, you know, good sex feels good. However, there's pleasure-oriented sex and there is performance-oriented sex. And pleasure-oriented is about how good can you make it feel and how long can you make it feel good for.
Mm-hmm.
Performance-oriented is about how fast can you get there.
And that's also a great way to describe what most people believe to be an orgasm. When most people think of what an orgasm is, they think of it as from a male's perspective, which is harder, harder, faster, faster, followed by the ejaculation at the end. And that's not what an orgasm is. And if it was, a woman would never have it. What it is, it's a series of contractions. When your body is feeling pleasurable sensations all over your body, and it's carried out until you're no longer feeling those pleasurable experiences. And we show you how to intensify that whole experience. It's like when people ask me, they say, come on, Jackie, is a one-hour orgasm really possible? And I tell them, I say, I really don't know. I've never had a one-hour orgasm, so I can't tell you about that. I've had a two-and-a-half-hour orgasm, so I can tell you about that. And it's really, I was one of those people who was very doubtful. I was like, Dr. Bob, Dr. Leah, on a scale of 1 to 10, my sex life is a 12. Thank you very much. I didn't know. And I'm so glad that I had the opportunity to learn just how much more pleasure you can have.
Now, ladies, I'm going to go to the phone lines again, if you guys don't mind. I'm just wanting to check. Area code 513, do you have a question or a comment?
Hi, Kathy. It's Natasha. Just listening in from my car.
Oh, okay, dear. Oh, no problem, no problem. I just wanted to make sure you didn't have a question.
Well.
Okay, keep listening.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, all of these comments are absolutely fabulous, and getting back to that body image problem, the body image problem is forgotten when your lover or your husband or your significant other is gentle and loving. And maybe one of the things women can do when they don't feel comfortable with their bodies is, just ask their, like you said, what was that you said about ask? You need more ask?
Your ask isn't big enough?
Yes, your ask isn't big enough, exactly. And that's where the ask could come in again. And ask your partner to, help you with that mindset and help you to feel better, because I tell you, there's a lot of things about my body that I'm not happy about, because I feel quite a few parts of my body are too skinny. But my partner makes me feel like I look like Halle Berry.
And you do. I mean, absolutely. It, as you said, when you take the compliment that he is giving you, that is so wonderful, because often one of the things that women will do is they'll get a compliment and then they shoot it down and then they wonder how come the man in their life isn't giving them more compliments. Sometimes we
right.
don't realize that we train the man in our life, because how does it feel to you if you keep telling someone something wonderful about themselves, but they keep saying to you, oh, no, that's not true. You're just saying that. You're just lying. That doesn't make any sense. At some point, you're like, well, okay, they don't believe me. I'm not going to say it anymore.
Oh, yeah,
right.
And that reminds me of Flora. You remember Flora?
Dr. Oh, yeah.
From Dr. Bob's Diets Don't Work seminar. And Flora was this 350-pound woman.
Ooh.
But, you know, she had men. She had plenty of men.
It
and
happened.
You couldn't tell Flora that she wasn't fine. She wasn't drop-dead gorgeous. She had this attitude about her that just attracted men.
And as a man, if I can interject and just say this, and I've said this in my workshops and seminars, especially to young women, it's so important for women to understand that sexy is not a physical thing. It is a mental and attitudinal thing. I mean, you can be sexy in so many other ways than how you look.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So often how you look, how you act, and how you carry yourself is so much more attractive than the vessel that you see. Because it only takes a moment for someone to say something and make that outer beauty turn into something very ugly. But if you've got a beautiful attitude and a beautiful mindset and you carry yourself with confidence and style, there's nothing sexier.
Is that not the absolute
yes.
truth? I have got to add to what Tony just said there. I mean, when we talk about attitude, it's as you said, it's not your wrinkles, it's not the flab, the cellulite, whatever it is that you may think you have, but it's your attitude about
yes.
the wrinkles, the cellulite, or the flab. Whatever it is, it really is that. And once again, we all feel it, we all see it. We have seen people that may have all that, but we don't really, on one level, you may see that, but on the level that really counts, it doesn't even really register for you because their attitude about themselves is so wonderful.
Right. Yes, and I know quite a few people like that. I know a lot of people that are that way, that, you know, physically you would wonder, you know, how they can get so many men. And they are just so confident. When they walk in a room, you can just feel their confidence. I mean, they walk with their head up, and, you know, it's just fabulous. So that you're right, Tony. That is so very true.
It really, really is. There are several people that I have had the opportunity to talk to in the last couple of months. And one, her name was Carol, and I'm just saying that because she said I could talk about her. But
good.
What she said to me is she said, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm 120 or if I'm 200 because I've been both. She says, I still feel good about me because it was me that chose to get me to 200. It was me that chose to get me to 120. And whatever reason it is that had me gain the 80 pounds, it was like, yeah, that's what I did. I put it on, and so therefore I chose to take it off, but it didn't really change the way I felt about myself. And she said in one way that she actually had more men after her when she was 200 than when she was 120.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just
all
depends on the individual.
Yeah.
It really does. And I know in some of my experiences, and, you know, they haven't been all very pleasant, but when I was I was married for quite a long time, and my spouse was very critical. I mean, I've been thin my entire life, but, you know, no matter how thin I was, he would still say I was fat. And I had a lot to overcome as far as my appearance because nothing was ever good enough. I always kind of wondered, why in the world did he marry me? But anyway.
Well,
so,
we know.
Yeah, he had issues.
Yeah,
so
and
I had,
also it was more of what was going on with him. He wasn't okay with himself, so he was making you that, you know, it wasn't okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact, so often what we have seen for ourselves is that if somebody has low self-esteem, then what they do is pick on you because of how bad they feel about themselves to take attention off themselves.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that you is that if a person is saying mean and hurtful things to you, that is a person that is really hurting themselves and is in a lot of pain. And so one of the things that you can do is, rather than to be triggered by the things that they're saying, is to know that for a person to say and do mean things like that, they have to be hurting. They have to be hurting.
That's true.
And so then you can take it up, take the attention off of yourself and look at them.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like we truly don't have any control over what somebody else may think about us. However, what we do have control over is whether or not to believe what that person is saying about us.
Right, that's true. But, yeah, for so many years, I bought into it. I bought into it, and I believed what he was saying about me, and you know, and I allowed it to get into my spirit. But you know, thank goodness I was able to, you know, meet a wonderful person after that, and you know, friends and wonderful coworkers. I'm so, I don't know where that came from. Definitely not coworkers. But where did that come from, Tony?
I meant
friends and family. Friends and family, definitely not coworkers. But
yeah, the one
but
thing,
yeah,
one thing
I got,
I would like to add, Kathy, is also that so many times when you're there supporting someone and you're trying to uplift them in the midst of their pain and recognizing their pain, that person that's trying to be supportive also has to have a sense of self-esteem and strength and a will that will get them through, because sometimes during that hurtful time, you've got to have leather chaps on, I guess is the best. You have
exactly.
to have your armor on. You know, you have to have something stronger to deal with what you're dealing with, because sometimes those things that come back at you can be stingy and can hurt you somewhat, but you just have to remember the cause and the reason that you're doing it, and that's to support the person that you love, and that's more worthwhile than the emotions that you go through.
Yes. How many times have we heard that we are the hardest on the ones we love, right? And,
Absolutely, yeah. And
of course, it's not them. They're just the person that you feel the safest with. They're the person that you know that you can be any which way you are, from the most beautiful person to, you know, the most difficult person, hardest, ugliest. And yet that person, and hopefully what you've got is that you're there for each other during those times, because we all know that we have bad times, hard times, painful times, struggles and stresses. And one of the things that I try to share with people, and understand, these are just my viewpoints. I was blessed with 23 incredible years of marriage, and I definitely had Prince Charming. And one of the things that he taught me is, he said, Leah, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to every feeling, and it's okay to have your feelings. Let them out. And as he reminded me so often, I'm here, I can hear them, I get them, and every once in a while, it's true, you know, you may be mad at each other at the same time, but bottom line, you remember that you absolutely do love each other and are there for each other through it all.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Here's a question I want to ask again. This is from a male perspective, and forgive me if I'm not going to get graphic, but it's just a curiosity.
No, go ahead and get graphic.
Well, no,
get graphic.
This is for those guys out there who are with someone, and they are a pleaser themselves, and they enjoy pleasing their partner, and their partner's having a wonderful time, and they're having a wonderful time pleasing their partner. But there seems to come a time when that partner says, look, don't touch me right now, don't touch me anymore, I can't take it anymore, leave me alone. What is a guy supposed to do with that moment? Because in the pleasing standpoint, you feel like you want to continue. But at that particular time, is there an oversensitivity? Is it just too much?
Yeah.
How should a guy handle that situation?
Yeah, exactly.
Well
Tony,
I kind of don't understand. Is the question that the partner is saying, don't touch me anymore, because it's too intense, or they don't like your touch?
Yes. Yeah, it's too intense.
Yeah, that does. Well, we've got a couple phases here. Let me see if I understand. I may not be understanding the question all the way, but with women and men both, when you're becoming too sensitive, if you've already gone over the top, like you've ended the cycle, is that what you're talking about, Tony? And
yes,
you're
continuing?
Are you talking about when a woman has reached an orgasm?
When a woman has reached an orgasm and she is and even in the midst of the orgasm, and the guy is continuing to do what he's doing, and she basically is kicking him off the bed
on
the floor saying, leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. I know I've experienced that. Jackie, have you experienced that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And Kathy, have
what
you
does that
experienced
mean?
That means exactly what he said. We're too sensitive. And at that moment, the thing to do is you got to really, really, really lighten up. I mean, actually, it's a good thing because you want that part of your body to be sensitive and receptive, but you've got to know when to lighten up. It's like, one of the statements that they taught us at the university is that men have what they call hammer hands. They think the harder they press, the more they're going to feel. And what you've got to do is really lighten up. When she tells you to lighten up, and if you've gone too far, you need to honor what she's saying at that moment.
Well, and let me get graphic, too, because I have experienced one of those moments, and I need an answer just to understand how that works, guys. When that happens, hello?
Yes.
Hello? Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard someone hang up. Okay. When that happens and the clitoris gets very, very sensitive during an orgasm, is that what's supposed to happen? Because that has happened to me, actually.
Well, sure. Absolutely. That part of you gets sensitive, and that's what we're saying. That's actually a good thing, but you got to lighten up because at different phases, at different phases. Now, the more engorged you are, the more pressure you can take. And what to understand about engorgement is once you've reached a certain peak and you've gone over that edge and that particular cycle, that is what happens, is you can get very, very sensitive. But if you will lighten up at that moment, the person who is doing you or whatever activity you are doing at that moment, and just lighten up, you'll be surprised that what will be on the other side of that are more incredible sensations in ways that you couldn't even imagine.
Exactly. You'll be able to lengthen that experience off and even carry it out longer than that.
Yeah. That's how Jackie had that 2.5 hour one.
Oh, okay.
And what happened with me when I first learned about this particular technique, I remember the first time our friends said to us that they learned how to have a 1 hour orgasm. Now, I had a belief because I had never had a multiple, let alone a 1 hour. When they first said that to me, I said, oh, my gosh. Don't you know that women lie about multiple, let alone 1 hours?
That, I know.
You know, that's how I was in my belief. I was so skeptical. But what I learned, once again, is that if I were just willing to be open and practice some of the exercises and really practice, and here's something that's wonderful, practicing something that feels good. And when they gave us the homework assignments, which you did at home in the privacy of your, you know, the homework assignments that they gave you to do at home in the privacy of your own home, that was one of those times where I have to admit I always came back first person with the best homework. And what I learned about myself that was so, so important, so many times so much of the focus is on a man's engorgement, not on a woman's engorgement. And the thing to understand about our clitoris is that it's there for one purpose only, and that's pleasure. That's the only purpose for our clitoris is pleasure.
That's amazing.
And, you know,
made up that way.
Dr. Leah was talking about when she did the exercise, and I was just thinking about when I first did the exercise and I went home and did the homework. I, you know, did the homework full out and the first day. And the second day, I kind of like, you know, half did the homework. And the men in the seminar could look at my face and tell the difference. That is what makeup does. Makeup, you know, enhances your face the way a very good orgasm does. And I was just amazed at that fact that, you know, just from looking at my face, they could tell how well I did the homework.
Well, I mean, I know, and again, I'm going back to body image because it all kind of plays in together, because when our partner is sensitive to our concerns about our body image and we work with them on that, that's the wonderful experience that you could have, ladies. I mean, that's what's waiting out there for you.
Yeah.
1 hour and orgasm.
And it's what we said, when you feel good, I tell you, that takes you to a whole nother place. You're not even thinking about the way you look because you're into how good you feel.
Absolutely. And your partner's helping with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just
exactly.
Like we said, you know, we're the instrument for each other in the game of pleasure.
Absolutely agree. And I know I had kind of said a little bit earlier about the stomach stapling situation, but and I'm thinking I probably know the answer you're going to give to this. I'm assuming you feel the same way about like tummy tucks, liposuction, and those types of things.
Yeah, well, it's such a personal decision again. I mean, it's if that's what the person feels that's what they need to do, then that is their personal decision. And if they've really explored all the options and they have talked to the doctor the way they need to, they've had their psychological assessment, not doing it for the wrong reasons, because so often, sometimes when people do those surgeries, they think that, you know, all of a sudden that life is going to be so different than it was without really dealing with what the real issues were. And so as long as they're talking to the team of doctors they need to talk to and they still feel that's what's best for them, then that's what they get to do. But I still feel, in my own personal opinion, that whatever you can do naturally, do that.
Exactly. I feel the same way.
So, and ladies, we're coming up on our last 2 minutes. I knew this would be a very fast hour, and I want to be respectful of your time. So I'm going to ask you both if you could, you know, give a summarizing comment to our listeners, because you have given some superb information. So, Dr. Lee, you want to go first, or Jackie, either one?
I was just going to go back to the very first thing, which is, once again, about attention. You get whatever you put your attention on. You know, water those flowers in your life, and you're going to get more flowers. So just really put loving attention on yourself, and whatever attention you put that's positive on you will come back to you.
Exactly. I ditto that.
I absolutely agree, too. So, ladies, for everyone out there listening, if you are having issues with any parts of your body, I mean, again, I'm going to reiterate what I said earlier for the people that were in the chat room, because I know the chat room had some folks that heard this and then some came later that didn't hear it, but the affirmations are very, very powerful. Every morning I get up and I look at myself in the mirror, in the nude, and I have affirmations that just reaffirm that you're beautiful, whether it's a part of my body I don't like or not. I just say, you know, you're beautiful, and I look at every part of my body, and I stroke it, and I reaffirm to myself that I love that.
Oh, yeah,
and
if you don't do that,
eventually
no one
else subconscious will take it and run with it.
Yes.
So, Tony, did you have any closing comments? We're coming up on our last 60 seconds.
Well, I just wanted to say, just add that what you said was absolutely correct, and also very important is that as you give yourself those affirmations, just remember that whomever you're with, the partner that you're with, your significant other, also needs to understand that you are special to yourself, and you need to make sure that they're aware of how special you are to yourself. because if they know you love yourself, it gives them an opportunity to love you even better.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us this evening, and I probably will have you back. This was a wonderful discussion. An hour wasn't nearly long enough, and we're going to sign off for now. And I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we will see you, remember, next week at 7 p.m. So please join us. Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.